Någonstans runt år 2008 så fick jag ett samtal av ett skivbolag som hade lite sådär småningom börjat truga åt mig ett up-and-coming metalband från USA som heter Five Finger Death Punch. De här skivbolagsnissarna, de menar att det här har redan nu börjat ta fart i USA, att det här bandet har fått börja spela med stora band och så vidare och så vidare. Och att ja, vi ska försöka bygga lite i Finland och lite grejer. Nåja, deras första gig i Finland var sen i Helsingfors framför några hundra pers, typ 400-500 pers på Nosturi i Helsingfors i början av 2009 och jag var där. Bandet var faktiskt signat då till ett finskt skivbolag och de här slipsnissarna var där och sökte övertygande blickar bland de mediafolket som var på plats och det bjöds ivrigt på att dricka och sådär. 12 år senare så revs Nosturi-klubben och exakt samma dag som rivningsarbetena på klubben var de alltså sådana för första gången så sitter jag med bandets huvudarkitekt Zoltan Battery i hans lounge. Och det här gången på Hartwall arenan i Helsingfors. Man kan lugnt säga att saker har eskalerat.
So basically the local club that we played here the very first time is getting bulldozed and
yeah,
the same day.
Yes.
We are here playing in an arena.
And now you're like in the biggest indoor arena in the country, so it's kind of like we can see see how everything escalated.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
You could say escalated.
Yeah. You could say
it escalated, all right.
Yeah, it's a good topic to start. Right. You know, everything has just escalated. We were talking
and you know
about
what's funny? The song that we just put out right now, from the album called Full Circle.
Yeah.
Which is basically exactly about how things come always full circle.
Yeah.
And here you go.
Yeah.
You guys just define the song right now.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's weird because it has grown up to the Five Finger Death Punch is such a, like a huge machinery nowadays. Do you ever like walk past some clubs that you used to play in when you were younger and thinking like, wow, we played here once and we had like 40 people. Does it ever happen?
Oh yeah. And in fact, we just came from the Ukraine, right? So we went to the Ukraine and then we went to Russia right before we got here, right?
Yeah.
And we were playing in the Ukraine and there were like 6,000 people going absolutely crazy, you know, a sports arena. And like the first time we played the Ukraine, I'm pretty sure I saw a chicken run across the stage. You know what I mean? Like there was like 100 people and in some suburban little club that wasn't really a club.
Yeah.
I don't even know what we were doing there. And we were like looking at like, holy cow, like all this happened, you know. So it, you know, we are reminded all the time. We didn't forget where we came from.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It happens to me when I look at the crowd, you know, especially when it's like really big crowds, like this is going to be nice tonight, right?
Yeah.
And you look at the people and I'm like, man, this was that impossible dream.
Yeah.
You know, I came from here, you know, basically I grew up in Hungary. So for me, especially, you know. So we didn't forget, man. I'm reminded all the time.
Yeah.
But this little anecdote, like this club, it's amazing.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, of course, you probably don't mind that you now get to, you know, make a living out of, you know, playing music, performing, you know, you're living the dream. Of course, that's probably what you've been aiming at all the time. But is there something like with the old days, like with the garage days that you can sometimes miss in like some charming way? Like you probably wouldn't want to go back sitting in a van and playing for 20 people and get paid in beer.
Right,
but
right,
like,
right.
But is there something about those days that you sometimes become nostalgic about that you think like, oh, I miss this and this and about this and that?
Yeah, because, you know, that's the only way for you to appreciate where you are in time, in life, you know, is remembering those moments. And you know, like just the other day, we were just getting annoyed with some sound stuff, right, on stage. And literally, like, look at Ivan, I'm like, just think about it for a second. 10 years ago, we would go on a stage that was basically a truck, you know, the back of the truck would open, right? And like an 18-wheeler, and that was the stage open and we played. We didn't have a sound monitor engineer, didn't have anything. And we played anyway, right? I'm like, we gotta be grateful. Like right now I'm complaining, like, you know what, that hi-hat is a little bit too loud in my really expensive in-ear monitors, right? And then I'm complaining about it and I have to remind myself, like, man, we were doing this without anything, you know, forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, those things remind you and they kind of grind you, like, hey, we have it good. But, you know, you know what I still remember, though, that was interesting to me or was important to me? When we were growing up, this genre, heavy metal, was way more than what it is now.
Yeah.
It was a way of life. You know what I mean? Like all of us who had long hair would just stick together. We were kind of the rebels, the outcasts. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were the outlaws, and there was something about that. You know, if you saw another guy with a leather jacket and long hair, you were friends immediately. Like, hey, bro, yes. You know, yeah. That I miss.
Yeah.
That I miss. I don't like this. I don't like this new way of living that everything happens online and people don't understand responsibility and consequences. They type out anything, you know, like, oh, your band sucks. Say that to my face. Let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They don't understand, like, there are going to be consequences to things like that, right?
Yeah.
And that went away. And I think that kind of ripped apart the music and especially a genre like hard rock, heavy metal, mm-hmm. that was sort of like a brotherhood, and it was a way of life, and it was a rebellion, right? And now it's kind of got, you know, all the kids are online, like, you know, just typing dumb shit. And that I miss, how close we were. We were just friends because we love the same music. That I fucking miss.
Okay.
Yeah.
Även om Five Finger Death Punch numera spelar framför tiotals tusen människor, så minns Zoltan de här garagedagarna med värme. Och emellan så har de spelat till exempel framför hönor och sådär. Alltid nu och då så marrar man ju lite. Det handlar om vad man blir van med. Att han till exempel säger att han kan börja, vet du, klaga på hur någon cymbal låter dåligt och sådär. Men sen är det viktigt att komma ihåg att varifrån man kommer. Det som Zoltan saknar med The Good Old Days, det är kanske det här gemenskapen inom metallmusiken. Att direkt man såg någon med en bandtröja och långt hår, så var man vänner. Att han tycker att det här med sociala medier är kanske lite, jag vet inte, för det är inte lika genuint mera. Det är lite förstört på något vis. Något annat som har förändrats i bandet är att alla medlemmarna har lagt korken på och slutat dricka. Och det har tydligen förändrat bandet en hel del.
All the guys in the band got sober, right? So and everybody's really focused. So technically they're changed. They're different people now who are thinking differently, behaving differently, and it shows up in the music. Because the music is basically the sum total of the musicians who are playing that music. If those musicians change, the music will change also. So it's kind of like a welcomed, totally organic and accidental, you know, situation that all the guys got sober and everybody had this energy of let's go to the studio and let's kick some ass, right? And you can hear it, that the music sounds like Five Finger that much, but something is different about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a renewed energy. There's a renewed life in there. And it couldn't come in a better time than number 8 record. I mean, you know, people heard us enough, I guess. You know what I mean? They had to hear something new. And the two songs that you heard definitely were picked because we thought, like, okay, it is representing that change. There is, people can already hear, like, okay, something is different. Something else is coming. Mm. That's why we picked them.
How about the sobriety that you mentioned? Can that be heard also lyric-wise?
Oh, like, 100%. Is
there, because I would think that's such a big change.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, you know, the lyrics were always very personal. Ivan always wrote things that, you know, things that happened to him, things that are surrounding us, either socially, politically relevant stuff. You know, I mean, I love bands that singing about, you know, the Viking warriors and whatnot, but that's a little bit removed from everyday society. So you, as a person, you're not going to connect to that specific subject unless you're really into it. Like, I'm into history, so I will connect, but most people not necessarily going to connect to that. But personal stuff, you know, everybody had a heartache, everybody had catastrophe, everybody had all these feelings happen to everyone, right? So Ivan's lyrics were always kind of, as I said, very personal, and that's why I think people connected to this band to begin with. And now that he got sober, that journey that he came from, you know, we thought he's gonna die. He was really close.
Oh.
He was really bad, you know? And that moment, that realization for him that, you know, that, oh my God, this could be the end, to the struggle to get sober and going back and fighting through it, and all that is in the record.
Mm.
So when you're listening to it, you know, the hope, the hopelessness, that the you know, juxtaposed to each other, like one day he gets up like, yeah, I can do it, and then the next moment he might fall, right? All those ups and downs are absolutely in the lyrics.
Okay.
You know, so both musically and lyrically, I think this record is definitely an evolution that you can immediately notice without losing with that feeling like it's a different band. You know it's Five Finger Death Punch, but as I said, both musically, lyrically, there's an evolution that just, it's just there.
Mm. Despite, if we forget about the fact that how big you guys have become, what we also spoke about earlier, if we just forget about that and just, you know, just consider the music, just, you know, the content of the band. When you started the band back in the day, many years ago, and now we're thinking where you are now, sold out huge arena show in Finland and stuff like that. But if you just think about the music, the content, is it like, has everything always went like through your, like, according to your vision that you had back in the day? Like when you started, like, I want this kind of band, I want it to sound like this and this. And, you know, has everything always happened, or have there been like a lot of surprises during the journey for you personally, who was like the one who cast the first stone?
Right. That's an interesting question. I mean, you know, everything that happened was fairly conscious. So there was a vision, there was an idea how this band going to develop. So, you know, it happens where we didn't even go to the studio yet, and I already know what's going to be the title of the record, because I already know what we want to talk about. You know, we already know like where this is going to go. So from first record today, there was a vision, and we followed it more or less, right? So the evolution of the music and how this happened was kind of according to plans, but, you know, but I mean, life happens, right? So, and obviously we had, you know, everybody's well known, so I don't have to hide it, but there were moments when this band was just absolutely crazy and hit the wall, and, you know, and it sort of catastrophe happened, even on stage, you know what I mean? Things came to a screeching halt, and, you know, that makes it entertaining in some way. It's either you're going to see a good show or a fist fight or something, but something going to happen, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, those were unexpected, you know, obviously. Those were unexpected, but if we just talking about the music, not the circumstances and other crazy stuff, then I would say that we definitely followed that step, the evolution that I kind of foresee that this is where it's going to go. In fact, I'm not going to give it away, but I already know how the next record will sound like.
Oh.
That's what I mean. Like, we always had a very specific, where are we going? What's the message? You know, we are very principled people, right? And, you know, I'm not on a, I'm not going to stand on a soapbox and tell my, or how would I say this, force my political or social ideas on people, right? But I definitely am going to push the buttons, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
When we name the albums, that's also like, you know, in the middle of the Iraq, you know, Afghanistan, you know, conflict, everybody was out on the street, war is not the answer. I'm like, we're going to title the record War is the Answer, just because I knew that it's going to either piss off people or push a button, you know, when the whole socialist idea started coming to America, right, and Occupy Wall Street and all that crazy stuff was going on, we were like, we're going to call this record American Capitalist. See what I mean? So, and it's not because, it's not like, again, I'm not going to stand on a soapbox and try to tell you what to think, but it definitely gonna push your buttons, right?
That's good.
And so lyrically and thematically, we always been like that, and musically, there was always this idea where this is going, what's next, how this is gonna develop. This last record was more organic than planned, like it has to sound like this, because again, it came from the circumstances, how the guys got sober and just that energy came organically. But sound-wise, you know, like you're going to hear there are some orchestration in there, a lot of strings and this and that coming in. So that's the next step in the evolution where this thing, you know, maybe you're going to see us, you know, touring with an orchestra at one point, you know, we'll see. So, you know what I mean? So there are things are in the, you know, in our minds already how this is going to go.
Det har min son dockats i Five Finger Death Punch i tiderna, men nu är alla samtliga medlemmar helt 100% nyktra. Allra värst gick det då för sångaren Ivan Moody. Det var ganska mycket i rubrikerna också att det där, han drack väldigt mycket och förstörde vissa spelningar och sånt. Och Zoltan berättar att de var faktiskt de övriga medlemmarna i bandet, de var faktiskt oroliga att han skulle supa ihjäl sig, att det var redan livshotande. Men nu är han nykter, han har helt ny iver och helt ny energi, och det har de alla egentligen. De är ivriga när de far till studion och träningen och allt sånt där. I början av 2020 då jag träffade bandet så var de aktuella med albumet Fate. Och visst hörs bandets demoner på plattan. De hade ju en hel del, framförallt Ivan Moody hade en hel del att skriva om. Fast de just då, där pratade med Zoltan, fått klart album nummer 8, så visste Zoltan redan då vi träffades hur album nummer 9 kommer att låta.